So as Pastor Chuck introduced, we're the theme of this weekend is all in. Just for a moment, I want you to think about, what does that mean for you? When you think about that phrase, all in, what's the thought that comes to your mind? Is it fear? What's the cost? Does it feel... I'm all in. In my mind, I'm like, I'm all in, kind of. What am I all in for? Well, much of my life, I have been a kind of all in person. I got some slides for us that just different parts of my life. Let's throw the first one up. This is bungee jumping off of a bridge. I'd never done it before. This is the first time. I don't know if you've ever bungee jumped. It sounds cool until you're standing over the ledge, looking down, and you're going, I don't know these people who tied this around me. I've never seen this rope before. Can I trust the rope? I don't know. And then it's like, 1, 2, 3, bungee. Boom. They kind of nudge you off, and there you go. I just decided to make the most of the moment, and I live to tell about it. But once you jump, think about all in is jumping. Jumping. This weekend, we're talking about jumping into your faith, jumping into following Jesus, not half-heartedly, but wholeheartedly. And what might that look like? Here's another slide. This is jumping off of a boat in the San Francisco Bay. I had the opportunity to swim the Alcatraz swim. I don't know if some of you have done that, but they take you out to Alcatraz, and then everybody starts jumping into the water, and once you jump, you're all in. That's my sister on the right, and we said we were going to stick together. We jumped in. I came out of the water, and I never saw her again. Talk about feeling alone, feeling all in. How is this going to work? But made the commitment, and once you jump, there's no turning back. The only place to go back to is Alcatraz. Another slide. So there was a day when I was a youth pastor. And those of us that are youth pastors, you're always trying to create great memories and moments. And so one of our annual traditions is we used to take students on a ski trip. And the tradition was on the day before the last day, this is called the Speedo Challenge. And you lined up on the top of the hill, everybody on the trip. I mean, we had like 100 students. And here's the all-in part. Some people, they showed up on the mountain, and they're like, no, I'm going to wear my shirt, or I'm going to cut. No. You're wearing a Speedo, and it's a race. First one to the bottom wins pizza for their room and a whole bunch of stuff. But it was so funny because we're all kind of bundled up, and I was like, all right. It was a countdown, 10, 9, 8, and then you had to disrobe and then jump and talk about all in the snow. Anybody else done that? All right. There's a reason they say all in is risky. All right, next slide. Some of you have done this, getting married. Getting married, that was over 40 years ago. We got married on the same day, August 1983, August 20th. But marriage is a jump. It's an all-in. It's a for better or worse, for richer and for poorer, in sickness and in health, right? To love and to honor as long as we both shall live. That's all in. There's no, right? All in. Maybe we got one more. Do we have another slide or is that it? Oh, that's me and Chuck when we started the church. And if anybody has ever planted a church, so Chuck was the director of youth ministry for our entire denomination living in Chicago. And I was the youth pastor at Montecito Covenant Church. And I would just say we were both comfortable in our jobs. And so to start a new church took faith, it took boldness, it took courage. I'd never started a church together. You'd never started a church. It was like, what are we doing? But there's an all in. I want you to think about tonight of this theme. What would it look like for you spiritually this weekend to be all in. There's a passage in Luke chapter 5. If you have a Bible, open it. We have it on the screen out of the New International Version. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon Peter. And he asked him to put out a little from the shore. And then he sat down and he taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked hard all night long and we haven't caught anything. Zero, zippo, nothing. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." And when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. And so they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help. And they came and they filled both boats so full that they began to sink. Now just simmer in that story. I just have three reflections on that story about being all in, about thinking about it. The journey, another way I think of all in is living a life from mild to wild. Think about your Christian life. Think about your brothers around you. Is it a mild, ho-hum, not really making a difference in my life? I mean, I go to church 1.5 times a month. That's the average in America today. I show up to a men's group every once in a while and just kind of doing the best I can. I don't really read the Bible, and when I do, it doesn't really do anything for me, to be honest. I'm like, you know, trying to read through the Book of Hesitations and all in, from mild to wild. Here's my first reflection. Wherever you are, wherever you came in tonight, Jesus sees you, and he knows you, and he loves you, and he wants to be involved in your life. Basic for some of us, basic. Let me say it again. Jesus sees you. Think about the story. He's teaching to a crowd. He sees the crowd. He's speaking to the crowd. He sees it. And then there's a couple of boats. Did you notice what the passage said? The one belonging to Simon. Oh, he sees the crowd and he sees the one. He sees the crowd tonight and he sees you, the one. It gets better. He sees not only Peter, he sees a fisherman who has a fishing business. He sees a owner of a boat, a business owner, somebody with business partners, somebody with friends. He also knows that Peter has a family. We know that from other parts of Scripture. Peter sees not just you tonight. He sees the life that you left to come up here to Mission Springs. He sees you in your workplace, your buddies, your co-workers. Maybe you're a business owner. He sees that. It gets even better. He sees Peter, the fisherman, who's been out all night and caught nothing. Now, just this is one of the things I love about Scripture. Sit in that. What do you think Peter's feeling? He's been out all night and he's caught nothing. Think of the word. I just made a list here. Tired, beat up, frustrated, discouraged, resistant, fearful. Jesus sees you. He sees me. He sees the one. And notice that doesn't scare him. He knows all about Peter. And he wants to get involved in Peter's life. And you know what's interesting to me is what Jesus sees is what Peter can't see. You fast forward in Peter's life, he becomes the rock. He's a leader. He's a great friend. He's a mentor. He's an example. He's a model. He's a preacher. He's an influencer. He's a high-impact player. Peter can't see that in this moment. But Jesus sees his God-given potential. Might it be fair for me to say that Jesus sees you tonight, and he sees who you can become? It's my favorite discipleship word, becoming. We are all becoming something, someone. Who? What kind of a man are you becoming? Jesus sees who you can become, and he wants to be a part of it. He wants so much for you. And now I know some of you, you've been beat up by the church. Maybe some of you served so much, you've been burned out by the church. Some of you have never been to church. Some of you have been bored by the church. Tonight, we just want to talk about Jesus sees Peter, and he sees you. And he knows what maybe even the guys around you don't know about you. And don't miss this. He loves you. He's not put off. He's not running away. He's leaning in. I love how Chuck said, lean in this. I want you to know Jesus is leaning in toward you, saying, I want to be involved in your life. That's the first simple reflection. Here's the second one. Whatever Jesus is asking you to do, say yes. You know why? Because great things happen on the other side of your fears. I just look at my life and fear paralyzes me. Fear holds me back. Fear keeps me from leaning in. Fear keeps me from jumping. Fear keeps me from having that hard conversation. Fear keeps me from reaching out. Fear keeps me. And what does it keep you from? And then where might Jesus and his word be inviting you to walk in his ways? And you're kind of resistant, kind of hesitant. I'm not sure. That's what we see here in the text. He said to Simon, Peter, put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch. Did you notice Simon's response? We've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I'll say yes. Because I read it in your word, I'm going to do it. I'm going to say yes. I'm going to respond. I'm going to lean in. I'm going to jump. It's interesting, in this passage, there's three times Peter is responsive to Jesus. You might say there's three times he says yes. The first is, Jesus is speaking to the crowd, and he needs a place to speak, so he sees a boat. And he just happens to be Simon's boat. Hey, Simon, can I use your boat as a pulpit? Small ask, right? But what if he said no? He could have. No. Jesus, I don't want you involved in my life, my stuff, my. Use somebody else's boat. Small ask, and Peter says yes. Jesus gets in his boat. Second ask of Jesus is, hey, Peter, put out into the deep water. A little riskier, a little bigger. I don't know. Deep water, what? I've been out all night. I'm tired. I'm afraid of looking like a fool in front of my friends again. I'm afraid of failing. By the way, Jesus, you're a carpenter and I'm a professional fisherman. Oh, by the way, Jesus, we catch fish at night. It's daytime now when the fishing is all over with. You want me to go out in the day? That makes no sense. That's foolish. Oh, Jesus, you want me to go in the deep water? We drop our nets in the shallows. That's where the best fishing is. Doesn't make sense. Seems kind of foolish. How many of you have had the thought, well, that Bible, man, that was 2,000 years ago. I mean, he's asking me to do that. Now, that's I'm not doing that. Or, I trust him because you say so. I'll let down the nets. I love this quote by John Ortberg. He says, the decision to grow, it always involves a choice between risk and comfort. Between risk and comfort. Between risk and comfort. And that means to be a follower of Jesus, you must renounce comfort as the ultimate value of your life. How many of you are ready to go all in after that quote? What? I like being comfortable. I love living in Santa Barbara. What if the Lord said, it's time for you to, am I open? I love, you fill in the blank. I love holding on to my money. Wait, what, Lord? You want me to give my money away? I earned that. Wait, my time is, I'm a busy guy. You want me to serve? What? Where is Jesus asking you to do something? You know it. I'm talking, and there's an invitation. You know there's an area of your life you're not doing what he's asking you to do. You know what it is. I don't know what it is. But on the other side of that fear, if you trust him, if you say yes, if you jump, great things are going to happen in your life. I can just walk you through my spiritual journey and tell you story after story after story. 22 years old, I graduated from college. I'd become a Christian like at age 15. So, you know, 7 years I'd been a Christian, learning how to do it. Really grew in my faith. Serving at, I know we love Mission Springs, but serving at Mount Hermon on summer staff was a powerful experience for me. Being a volunteer youth leader at First Covenant Church Oakland, that's where I came to faith growing. I was born and raised in Oakland. And I graduated from college, and you know what my mindset was? It's my turn. I know I'm a Christian, but it's my turn to do what I want to do. I want to live for me. In fact, I probably would, if you were to peek into my journal, I would never write it in my journal, but I thought me, myself, and I was probably the Holy Trinity at that point. I was a little bit self-absorbed. Graduated from college, what do I want to do? And First Covenant Church Oakland received a letter in the mail. The pastor came to me and said, there's a church down in Mexico City that is looking for somebody to come down there and work with students. And your name's in the letter. It says, is there anybody like John Ireland that might be willing to move to Mexico? I had served as a short-termer my sophomore year of college for 6 weeks, so they knew who I was. Now they send a letter with my name in it, and the pastor said, here you go. And I went, no, that's not for me. He said, well, no, I mean, don't you think you should pray about it? No, I'm not praying about it. I'm not going to Mexico to live for the sake of others. I'm living for me. I'm going to build my own career. I'm going to make some money. I'm going to travel. Youth pastor says, well, I don't know if God wants you to go to Mexico or not, but are you willing to go? I mean, if God wants you, are you willing? Let me ask you that question. Are you willing? to do what God might be inviting you to do, to live the way God is inviting you to live, for the sake of others, to live beyond yourself. Laid on my bed, and I prayed, and God changed my heart. I said, Lord, I'm willing. If you want me to go to Mexico, I'm willing. I'm willing to go. In that moment, my heart got lit up with the light of Jesus giving me a vision and an excitement about living for the sake of others, to help others discover the unfailing love of Jesus. And so I went. I faced my fears. I didn't want to go. I faced my fears. It was down there that I got mentored and discipled by a guy named Jerry Reed, who ended up just pouring his life into mine and helped me receive my full-time call to ministry. And oh, by the way, there was a gal down there by the name of Natalie Sterkel. She was at the American School teaching. We met at a Super Bowl party. I led her to the Lord, and now she's been my wife for over 40 years. Now, here's what I want you to hear. You don't know what's on the other side of your yes, but I believe that God is for you. Look at the passage. Peter didn't want to go back out into the deep water. He'd been there all night. He's tired. He doesn't know that there's the catch of a lifetime waiting for him out there. Blessing that he can't even describe. But he would never have experienced that if he said, no, I'm out. Nope, I'm about me. Nope, find somebody else. That yes led to the favor of God in his life. And I believe my yes has led to God's favor. One more quick story. I'm going to say an up and down relationship with my father. I was in counseling maybe 15, 20 years ago, and my counselor asked me this question. If you could describe the message your father gave to you, summarize it, the message your father gave to you growing up in one sentence, what would it be? It's an interesting question. What would it be? And I thought, you know what? I'm going to ask my dad. So I picked up the phone and I said, Dad, I'm in counseling. The counselor asked me this question. And here's what my dad did. He interrupted me. He said, I know exactly the message I gave you and your brother and sister growing up. Don't F with me. I didn't see that coming. It's clear as day to him. The message I gave you, young man, growing up, don't F with me. Now, just think about the impact of that on my life, about feeling worthy, feeling like I'm enough, feeling like I have a father who's approachable, accessible, who loves me, that my life matters. He left our family when I was a junior high kid. And I've carried some resentment, some bitterness, some hurt, you can imagine, right? So when my dad turned 75... He's now 86, so 11 years ago. My dad and my sister and I went and we climbed Mount Kilimanjaro together. And I felt God saying to me, it's time to have a conversation with your father on this trip. And there was a quote that another therapist, a guy named Gordon Dalby, shared with me. He lives in Santa Barbara. He shared this quote and it really hit me. He said this, a little boy cries from the wounds of his father. Let me say it again. A little boy cries from the wounds of his father. A grown man cries for the wounds of his father. I said, I went into the tent. Dad, can I have a moment with you? And this is the yes. I felt the Spirit of God saying, you have an unhealthy relationship with your father. And you need to begin to repair that. So you got to start by the Holy Spirit nudging me. I went, all right, I'm going to have a conversation. I don't know how it's going to go. And I know I need to forgive him in my heart, but I also need to have this clarifying repair. I said, Dad, I heard this quote. A little boy cries from the wounds of his father. But a grown man cries for the wounds of his father. I said, Dad, what are your wounds? You don't raise three kids with the message, don't F with me. Not if you're healthy. Not if you're loving. But rather than blame you, I want to know your story, Pop. And in that moment of obedience, of leaning in, I was scared to ask him that. But I was like, I'm a grown man. I mean, I'm 64 years old, so what was I, 53 years old? I'm going, Dad. And I asked him, and he crumbled in my arms, sobbed. It broke him, just the question. And he took me through his childhood. Whew, man, it hits me right now. And a grown man cries because I heard what he went through, why he became the man. He's not a follower of Christ. Why he became the man he became. He never found healing. He never got to deal with those issues that shaped him. Are you hearing me? And I tell you that story because Sunday, this weekend, I'm leaving here to go stay with my dad for 3 days because I love him and we're dear friends. But without saying, yes, Lord, because you say I need to repair this relationship, I need to become a man of forgiveness, not a man filled with bitterness, I'll do it. I want to be the man you want me to be, Jesus. So I'll do it. I'm scared, but I'll do it. All right, let me jump to the last one. Here's the reflection. Whoever you've become, I don't know you. But God does. But whoever you become, it's never too late. Jesus uses unlikely, flawed men who are humble and repentant to change the world. Now, this is so powerful for me. You know where I learned this principle? Right here, this point. I see Ron DeMoller, I think, sitting right there. Ron, summer staff. You shared a devotion, 1980. And this was it. This was your insight into my life. So powerful to me. I didn't know you were going to be here tonight. Look at the passage, verse 8. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees. And what did he say? He's so astonished. He's so in awe of what just happened, the catch of his life. He said, "Go away from me, Lord. I'm unworthy. I'm a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they'd taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. And then he said to him, "Don't be afraid." Interesting, there it is. Don't be afraid. From now on, and here's the third yes, or the third response. From now on, you will fish for people, Peter. And what happens, verse 11? Pulled up the boats on shore, left everything, and followed him. If Peter teaches us anything, it's that Jesus has bigger plans for us than making a buck and having a boat. And I can tell you in Santa Barbara, there's a lot of people focused on making a buck and having a boat in the harbor. Nothing wrong about having a boat and making a buck. That's not the purpose of our life. It's not. And when you live in a community with wealthy people, you're reminded of it. And I just think some of us tonight maybe just need to be reminded. We feel so flawed, so unworthy, so inadequate, so dirty. And yet what this teaches us is that Peter felt unworthy. What did he do? He fell on his knees. Why? Why would you get on your knees, men? Because it takes humility to get on your knees. And you realize, wow, there's a God who sees me and knows me and loves me. And there's a God who's ready to extend blessing and favor in my life if I'll be responsive to him and lean in and say yes and be obedient. And if I'll humble myself and if I'll turn my life towards him. And I just believe a life of significance begins on our knees. That's where Peter's journey, man, he fell on his knees. And look what happened to his life. From now on, Did you hear that? Jesus said, from now on, what? From now on, there's a different purpose for your life, Peter. From now on, from now on, from now on. I love that phrase. From now on, you're going to be my light in this world. From now on, you're going to reorient your life to serve others, to help others experience the unfailing love of God. From now on, your life's going to be not insignificant, but so powerful and significant if you'll trust me and you'll follow me. Okay, let me stop. Where is the Spirit of God taking the Word of God and just pressing it into your heart tonight? This is first night of camp, man camp. We're getting real right now, man. It's Friday night. It's not even Saturday night. I'm going to have the band come up. We're going to sing. But, you know, I don't know if it's too much to ask, but I'm gonna go for it because this guy prayed for boldness tonight over my life, so I'm just going to ask you, when was the last time you got on your knees? Not metaphorically. When was the last time you got on your knees literally and cried out to God? To say, God, I want to reorient my life around you. I want you to be involved in my life. I want to say yes. I want to face my fears. I want to trust you. It's never too late. And so, right where you are, you don't have to. You might have physical ailments and you can't. But I'm going to invite you to get on your knees with me. I'm going to get on my knees. And I'm going to lead us in a prayer. No pressure to do it, but if you feel led to say, you know, I'm going to start this weekend on my knees. I can't think of a better place to start this weekend than on my knees before a great God. He's bigger, he's better, he's closer than you think. And so, right here, right now, kind Father, we humble ourselves before you. You can do anything. With you, nothing's impossible. And I love this passage because not only do you see this crowd of men kneeling, but you see the one kneeling. And you know my fears. And you know my sin. And you know my struggles. And you know my discouragement. And you know how much I need help. And you know how much I need you. And tonight, we're on our knees because we need you to show up for us in our marriages, in our parenting, in our workplace, in our finances, in our churches, in our small groups, in our ministries. We need you to show up. And so, Lord, we cry out right here, right now, in real time. I pray this might even be a turning point for us this weekend, that we'd look back and go, it was the night I got on my knees before God and said, I give you complete access to every area of my life. I commit myself to say yes to whatever you ask me to do, all in from this day forward. In the powerful name of Jesus. Now, before you lift up, just put your hand on the person next to you, on their shoulder. Just put your hand on them, and just right where you are, would you just quietly pray a blessing over them for this weekend, that God, the Word of God, and the Spirit of God, and the people of God would do the work of God in every man's heart, but especially the one that you just put your hand on. Holy Spirit, come. Bring your love. Bring your power. Bring your new morning mercies tomorrow. Bring your grace and bring your truth that it might transform who we are, that when we leave here on Sunday, we'd be different than when we showed up today. In the powerful name of Jesus Christ. And every man said, amen. Let's stand and sing.
Christ is my firm foundation.